Let's come to our God now in prayer and ask for his blessing on his word. Let's pray. Oh Lord, you are the God of our salvation. And as we gather once again on this day, enable us to sing to you a new song, to sing your praise in the assembly of the saints. Let us rejoice in our Maker. Let us be joyful in our King. Let us praise you with all kinds of music. Grant that we may enjoy your glory. Let us sing aloud unto you in our feasting. Lord, as we also turn to your word today, grant that your word would go forth with power to proclaim the salvation of the Lord among the nations, the judgment of our God among the peoples. Bless us, Lord, that we would be able to hear your word today, to take it to heart, to listen, that you would also bless your servant as he's called to proclaim your word. Grant strength, Lord, to your people. We pray this in the name of Jesus, the great King. Amen. Let us turn, first of all, to the back of the Trinity Psalter Hymnal as we read from the Heidelberg Catechism. We're up to Lord's Day 49, dealing with the third petition. Lord's Day 49. And we have one question and answer in that Lord's Day. That's found on page 895 at the back of the hymnal. Page 895, Lord's Day 49. And let us read this responsively as we hear the question and answer to it. What does the third petition mean? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven means help us and all people to renounce our own wills and without any back talk to obey your will, for it alone is good. Help everyone carry out his office and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. Turn also now to God's word. We'll read first of all from Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verses 25 to 40. And you'll find that on page 705 of the Pew Bible, Psalm 119, the psalm that goes through the Hebrew alphabet, and each verse deals at one point with God's law and how precious it is. So we'll read from verses 25 to 40, which is under the headings of Daleth, which is the letter D, and Hey, which is like our letter H. Hear now God's holy word. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have declared my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts. So shall I meditate on your wonderful works. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things, and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. And then please also turn now to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10 and verses 1 to 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 to 10, found on page 1380 of the Pew Bible. Hebrews 10, beginning our reading at verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins you had no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God." Previously saying, "Sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law." Then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. May the Lord bless that in our hearing once again this afternoon. So our text this afternoon is the third petition, which is, "May your will be done." Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, everyone is familiar with the word Amen. We say it at the end of our prayers. We sing it aloud in our songs, in worship and praise. But do you ever consider what it means? Amen is far more than just a word that's used at the end of a sermon or at the end of a prayer, as if to say, "We're signing off now," or "That's the end of the sermon." Instead, we're saying, "May it be so in accordance to your will, O God." It's saying to God that everything that we say and do and pray would be brought into conformity of his will. Jesus is the personification of the word Amen. In the book of Revelation, he's referred to as the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. He's called this because he perfectly obeyed God's will. And with this third petition, we see that he wants us to be like him. In the Sermon on the Mount, he instructs us to think first of God's name, kingdom, and will in our prayers. We've seen so far that the purpose of prayer is always to glorify God. Primarily, prayer is worship. And we must never think that we can rush into God's presence arrogantly, assaulting him with petty requests and forgetting who we're addressing. He's not only a merciful Father, but a holy Father, and deserves our utmost adoration and respect. So we've seen the priority of prayer in the first petition, "Hallowed be your name." Also the program of prayer in the second petition, "Your kingdom come." Jesus also added, "In this manner, therefore, pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," which is the plan of prayer. Literally, this means your will, whatever you wish to see happen, let it happen. Let it be performed or carried out. In other words, Father, do what you want. Do what you would with us. Do what you would with all those who are willing to obey you. And then there's that phrase added with it, as in heaven, so on earth. So congregation, what we're praying when we use this petition is, may your good, perfect, and acceptable will be done in our lives and in the lives of other men and women in the earth, just as your will is done in heaven. That is the bottom line of prayer, asking that the Lord's wishes be carried out through us. And so hear God's word this afternoon under that theme, the third petition, the plan of prayer, praying that we may do God's will, first of all, cheerfully, secondly, constantly, and thirdly, completely. So first of all, we're praying that we may do God's will cheerfully. What are we doing when we're praying the third petition? We'll have to put that question in the negative. What are we not saying when we pray this? What are we not saying when we pray this? When David prayed in Psalm 40, he said, I delight to do your will, O my God. Very frequently, that was his desire, even though he was sinful and he did not always obey. Jesus, however, was perfect. And his obedience was without blemish. He often spoke of his perfect and selfless obedience as he came to fulfill Psalm 40. We read of that in Hebrews 10 this afternoon. In John 4, verse 34, he said, my food is to do what? The will of him who sent me to finish his work. In John 6, verse 38, he said, for I have come down from heaven not to do what? Not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. That's a Christ-like attitude that the Lord would have us follow. And that shouldn't be done with a spirit of resignation. There are some who would do his will because they feel that they have no other choice, doing it like a robot, programmed to do exactly what God says. There's no delight to be one of God's children and listen to instructions out of a spirit of trust and love or eagerness. Neither should it be that we do God's will out of resentment. That's an attitude that we sometimes can have. Children, if you're told by your parents to do something, do you listen right away? Or is there a lot of talk back and a lot of grumbling? Dad says, son, I'd like you to go rake the leaves now. What's your response to that? What's the response to that young person if your mom were to kindly say to you, honey, can you please do the dishes now? Or can you please carry out your chores for today? Whether that means clean the bathroom or vacuum the living room or sweep the kitchen floor. What's your response to that? Well, you know what your response should be to kind of question like that. Not by complaining, but cheerfully. And that's how we're to pray. God is not harsh, cruel, or oppressive. He is just, perfect, compassionate, and kind. All you have to do is see that the Lord expects that we all listen to his word and willingly keep it. He's not an unjust father. He seeks fellowship with men, women, and children who desire to do his will. And if that's how we are, then we're truly blessed. There's nothing better than to be in harmony with God in that way. It serves not only his interests, but our self-interest as well. It's for our good. As that old hymn says, trust and obey, for there's no other way than to be happy with Jesus, but to trust and obey. Such a simple and ordinary truth, and yet how wonderful it is. What a profound, deep truth that is. And that's exactly how the Heidelberg Catechism expresses it. That is, help us and all people to renounce our own wills and without any backtalk, obey your will, for it alone is good. Note those words there. Without any backtalk, without any opposition, without any complaining. It's asking that God would help us not to speak or act against him. Congregation, that might be the way we pray sometimes. We seek his will in our lives the way that we want and not the way that he wants. Sometimes we might ask him to show us his will at a crucial time in our lives when his will can be found right in his word. Could be that we're not allowing ourselves to be ruled by his word. We're being tossed all about because we're seeking outside of what he has already given us. Or it could be that we're vainly saying your will be done, but not concerned about the Spirit of God working in us. We might resist him. But that's not how we're to pray. We're not to try to seek his will by expecting that he will bring to us what we want. The Lord can see right through us if that's the kind of prayers that we bring. Our God's not fickle. He has made known his will to us. The sons of God, his children. He's made his will known to the sons of God. And he firmly and forthrightly tells us how we are to conform to his perfect will without wavering, willingly, fervently, readily, and swiftly. Well, that brings us to our second point. We're praying that we might do this constantly. What are we saying when we pray, your will be done? Well, when we pray this part of the Lord's Prayer, we're asking that the Lord's wishes be carried out willingly, fervently, and constantly. If we have trouble with that, then we should look at the angels. They don't complain one bit. They don't go into a conference room in heaven to discuss the Lord's plan for them. No, they do it. They listen. They obey right away. Otherwise, what would happen to them? They would be eternally banished from God's presence. Their obedience is motivated by their purity and holiness. They're sent by God to do what he says. And when he says, do this, they do it. Hebrews 1 says, are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation? The Westminster Larger Catechism in the Lord's Prayer says that we're to discharge our duty like the angels do with humility, cheerfulness, faithfulness, diligence, zeal, sincerity, and constancy. There's that word, constancy, constant. In heaven, things are very different than they are here on earth. Look at the earth. Do we cheerfully and humbly obey God? Are we sincere about our obedience as God's children? Compare that to heaven. Have you ever read in the Bible about an angel who was able to stay in the presence of God if he disobeyed? Has there ever been a disobedient angel who wasn't banished from his holy place? Whenever God commands them, there's never any discussion. The angels must listen to the Lord. They do not waver. They're always eager to do what he says. They're ministering spirits to do his pleasure, Psalm 103 says. And they can't wait to receive another command from the Lord. If there's any desire other than pleasing the Lord, then he will punish those who have that desire. And you know from the scriptures that there were two wills in heaven at one time. But the Lord dealt with that. Satan and his followers who were opposed to the Lord, They were banished. They were kicked out of heaven. In fact, they were condemned to eternal destruction. But how does that compare to the earth? How does mankind respond to the will of the Lord? It's totally different here. There isn't one will here like there is in heaven. No, man's will is considered more important than God's will. And sadly, even those in the church, God's people, must be prompted and poked until sooner or later they obey. Congregation, we have to admit that we are often not like the angels who quickly do what they're told. We complain and bicker. We question the Lord's will. And we're not easily moved by the Spirit. We're very slow to do what He says. And we do not readily and willingly obey the Lord. But that's not acceptable to God. He doesn't accept the world as it is. Otherwise, He wouldn't want to change it. Neither does He accept our laziness and indifference. There's only one thing that matters. That one will in heaven. And that should be on earth. And we're asking that we might have that one will. We're admitting that we're rebellious and want to change. We're asking that Satan be removed from his power and influence in the world, and that men die to themselves and submit to Christ. Or as the Catechism puts it, we're asking that we obey the Lord willingly, sincerely, constantly, like the angels. In other words, when we pray the third petition, we're rebelling against the world. We're rebelling against the world and its fallenness. We're saying, your will is not being done here. Satan has too much power. Your will is not being done in the hearts of people. They're turning their backs on you. Your will is not being done in my life and in the lives of other believers living in disobedience. God doesn't accept the world the way it is. He doesn't tolerate sin. He doesn't accept sin. He's going to destroy the world if it doesn't repent. To use an illustration, it's like when Jesus came into the temple at the very beginning of his ministry. There are two times where Jesus comes into the temple. One at the very beginning of his ministry, John chapter 2, and then one time at the end of his ministry after his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And he didn't come into the temple and say, wow, looks like, you know, everything's going well here. It must be the will of God. No, everything in him rebelled. He was furious with a righteous anger. And he made a whip and he turned tables over. He chased people out. He lashed out at the people and he drove out the money changers. The Bible says that when Jesus came a second time in Mark chapter 11, people were afraid of him. They saw Jesus coming in the temple and they ran. They stopped from taking out, they didn't even take out any of their wares. They left behind every penny. He chased them out. So how is this to change on earth? Well, there has to be a death to self. We're talking about a spiritual condition that we ought to have. We are to be totally resigned to the Lord. And that's why He has given us the freedom to come to Him in this way. Prayer is not only designed foremost as a worship of God, it's also an act of God's grace to us. It's designed to change us. It's designed to sanctify us. It's been created by the Lord so that God may grant our request and help us to resign ourselves to Him. Just as Jesus said, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me, so that we're to think and act. Just as Jesus said, I delight to do your will, O my God, so we're to delight in it. And again, Lord's Day 49 is very helpful. It says, grant that we and all people may renounce our own will so that everyone may discharge the duties of his office and calling. Congregation, we are also admitting our own rebellion. We're saying, your will is not being done in my life and in the lives of other believers. We're often disobedient and we're not obeying the word. You see, the Father doesn't accept things in the world as they are. Otherwise, he would have never been concerned to change things. He would have never bothered to send his Son to the earth in order to destroy sin and death, if he wanted to put up with us in our natural condition. Neither would Jesus have promised the Holy Spirit to his disciples and to the church if hearts didn't need to be changed. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." He wanted hearts to be conformed to him. Our problem when we seek his will is not that we want our way and not his way. We think that prayer is primarily to change our situations or the bad things that happen to us, instead of seeing that prayer is primarily meant to change us. Yet we should not expect situations to change first of all. We should first expect ourselves to change. That's what God wants to see most of all. Yes, situations sometimes do turn out for the better when we ask the Lord to change them. But it's far more important for ourselves to change. We're to be brought into conformity to his Son. We're to present ourselves as living sacrifices. We're to deny ourselves. If any man would come after me, Jesus said, let him what? Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Well, then, what should our attitude be? How do we put away our own will and put on God's will? That brings us to our third point. We pray that God's will would be done completely. Peter said, what should our outlook be? We looked at that in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4 and chapter 5. We ought to obey God rather than man. We ought to obey what God commands rather than what we command. The psalmist David essentially said the same thing throughout most of Psalm 119. Most of this psalm, Psalm 119, is about obedience. Verse 27 says, make me understand the way of your precepts. Other parts say, oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings, says David. And I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. Time and time again, David made it clear that doing the will of God was his joy and delight. He wanted to be molded and shaped by God. So how do we put away our own will and put on God's will? Well, Psalm 19 reminds us that his law, his precepts, his commandments, his testimonies, and his ordinances are to be our delight. In other words, God's will is revealed to us in the Bible. That is where we must go to first if we want to obey God's will for our lives in all circumstances and situations. Of course, we know that many are not content with the word as the expression of God's will. They want more. So they try astrology, fortune telling, tarot cards. These are forms that are completely forbidden by God's word and can't be used by us. Even as Christians, we have to be careful not to follow certain superstitions. There are those who seek God's will with the Bible, but they do it by putting the Bible in front of them. They close their eyes, they open up the Bible, and they look at it, and they point their finger to that one spot, and whatever that verse says, that's God's will. That's a very wrong approach to knowing. We have to read and meditate on God's entire word. We need the entire counsel of God. And when we do that, along with daily prayer, we will see God's will for our lives. Furthermore, to pray this petition is daily recognizing that our wills must submit to His. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. And of course, the emphasis there is on living sacrifices, which is hard. It's difficult for our bodies to be the sacrifice. It's far easier to put an animal on the altar. An Old Testament animal sacrifice is far easier. You just put that on the altar. But no, this is talking about our bodies, putting on them on the altar. To be living sacrifices means to deny ourselves and our wills. If our wills won't die, then the petition cannot be manifest in our lives. And yet, congregation, one of the most comforting thoughts that we can have is that the one who made us knows us and He wants us to yield to Him. Thus, if we live by His word, we will have what He promised. Peace in the midst of the stormy life. There's a great peace in knowing that one who taught us to pray has every detail of our lives under control. Not only is He the object of our faith, but He is the designer of our salvation. And thus, whatever we pray for, whether it is for healing or for a new home, when we're in harmony with His will, we will receive what God intends for us. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purposes. If we pray as His obedient servants, we will always have true peace, no matter what happens. As well, when we pray, Your will be done, we're admitting that God won't necessarily spare us from trial and tribulation, but rather use the fiery furnace to remove impurities from us. We will always find our consolation and support in the fact that God is good and wise and helps us in whatever befalls us. Remember how God helped Job. All kinds of evil came on Job. His property was destroyed. His children were killed. He was struck with a terrible sickness. Job's wife even told him, curse God. Did Job do this? No. He took refuge in God because he knew that God loved him. He knew that God's ways are higher than our ways. And we have to do the same. John 16, verse 33 says, in this world you will have tribulations. Disease, decay, discouragement, and even death are the natural consequences of a fallen world. And when suffering and sorrow strike, we're prone to speculate and to wonder. We don't understand God's ways. But we must teach ourselves to live by God's will as it is revealed in His word. For Jesus said in John 16, verse 33 as well, not only in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. For perfect health and happiness are not the most important things to us, but a new life in Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. And so pray, therefore, congregation. And realize that it's to sanctify you. It is for your sanctification. It changes us. We're not to call upon the Father to get Him to do what we want. We do not supplicate Him as though we are going to suffer the inevitable when we pray, Your will be done. Nor do we pray to try to manipulate him and twist his arm. Rather, we go into his presence to hallow his name, to ask that the reign of Christ might come into the hearts of many people. And we ask that his will be fulfilled in us and in others. To pray this petition is to ask that the Lord would slowly and progressively work in us. We're asking for his work of progressive sanctification. We might ask him to change situations or circumstances in our lives that might be difficult. And we may hope that he would make things easier for us. But the key issue here is that we would depend completely on him. The important thing is that our wills are in line with his will. Yes, he is gracious. He's not only concerned about his holiness, but he's also concerned to show us his compassion. And his will also was to send his son, his only begotten son, a son who did not look upon his place in heaven with greedy eyes, a son who did not consider equality with God something to be grasped and held on to and greedily looked upon. A son who did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, Jesus came willingly to do his Father's business. And he prayed in Gethsemane 3 times. Father, if it pleases you to take this cup from me, but not my will, but your will be done. But it was the Lord's will for him to take on our rebellion, to take on our selfishness, to take on our sin. Christ did it selflessly so that we might be able to worship and honor him. Congregation, this is our salvation. Such a mysterious and wonderful salvation that yes, we're to pray, your will be done as the angels do, but even the angels don't understand the depth and the wonder of this salvation. That's how great it is. Does that not move you to praise? Are you not all the more thankful for his grace? Are you not all the more glad to think that he gives you such privileges? How wonderful it is to be able to pray these 3 petitions. How wonderful it is to ask that his name be revered, that his son reign in our hearts, and that his commands might be within us. May God's will indeed be in us as it is with those in heaven. Amen. So may it be. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so amazed again at the profundity of this prayer as we come again to this petition. And see again the need for us to pray in these 3 opening ways that your Son taught us. Lord, teach us how to pray and grant to us a heart that is always submissive to your will. Forgive us of our rebellion. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to do your will. May our hearts rest in him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.